Let me start out by saying I had been thinking about this for a long time, and I've talked to a few of you about it, and I don't know, I feel really nervous about presenting it. I don't even know if you'll understand everything I want to say, and it's a very simple little message I want to bring. It's, of course, it's always a challenge to myself and as much as everybody else. And I have all the information, everything I want to say. I asked Dad several times, are you sure? Could you pray and make sure that God wants me to preach tonight? And he said, I know. So I am really nervous. I don't know, more than normal. But it's all here in front of me, and it might not come out in the right order, and it might not make sense, but I'm going to try to tie it all together. And I was planning on telling a few stories tonight, so I'm not going to change my plan, even though Dad's hearing is making me nervous. So the first scripture I want to turn to is Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Of course, one of the passages where Jesus gives the Great Commission. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. It says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And one other story I'd like to read from the Bible just to get started out is the book of John. I believe we were here a few weeks ago. I used it for a different purpose. It served that one as well as this tonight's. John chapter 13, and where Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. And verse 12 is where I'd like to read. It says, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I don't know how many of you have an internet connection. Our church started a website last week, and one thing, if I get bored sometimes, I'll go to Google and I'll find something in the Bible and I'll type it in and just see what comes up. I know there's some strange beliefs, things, people that believe differently than us, and I type in foot washing and it brings up a ceremony, an order of service on how to conduct a foot washing service. And apparently it's practiced in some Baptist churches and Anglican churches and Catholic churches. And even there it says that this doesn't bring about salvation or do anything in the spiritual sense. It's a symbol, much like the Lord's Supper is a symbol. It doesn't save you, much like baptism is a symbol and shows everyone what you've done. But this is kind of foreign to me. I've never seen a foot washing service before. In college, one time a guy preached from this, and he said, hey, Brother Taft, come over here. I'm going to wash your feet. And it was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen because it was foreign to me. But to some people, it's not. And some people still practice that to this day. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you want to turn there, you can. If not, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14, where I'll start reading. Usually I go so fast you can't turn there anyway, but 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14. Even so, the Lord hath ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me, for it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. In verse 18, what is my reward then? Verily that, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Another story. When I went to college, somehow through all those years, we were taught, if you have a service, this might seem strange to you, just as foot washing does, or I'll get through it all though. If you have a service, it ought to be too loud. People ought to come up to you afterwards and say, my ears hurt, it's too loud. It ought to be too cold. People always ought to be a little bit chilly because it'll help them stay awake. And it ought to be too long. Somebody should always be complaining that it just went too long. So, sometimes when I'm here and someone comes up and says, it's a little chilly, there's a part of me, I don't want to be this way, but there's a part of me that says, I made my college proud, I did them right. And there's a part of me that says, when it's too loud, I'm always fighting, you know, sometimes the music's louder than the preaching, and that bothers me because that's how I was taught, you know, that it should all be, everything should be loud. You shouldn't be able to escape. Your mind shouldn't be able to wander because it's just piercing into your head. And so there's parts of me that are kind of ornery, you know, and there's, so people are say something to me, and I'm like, well, okay. There have been other instances where someone will come up to me and they'll say, I won't use a specific example for obvious reasons, but they'll say, this is going on, it needs to be changed right now. And I'll say, thank you for telling me that. They'll come back several hours later, maybe between Sunday morning and Sunday night, and that thing hasn't changed, and they're surprised. Well, that's a little bit of my orneriness, because it's that way for a reason, and I don't want to change it. So, but Paul talks about, later on in that verse, in that chapter, in 1 Corinthians 9, he talks about, for though I be free from all men, this is verse 19, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. So he just says something that's kind of contradicting, but he's saying, I'm talking to people that are under Jewish law, and I'm talking to people that are not under the law. And I'm trying to get the gospel to both of those people. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. A lot of things are different. When I go home sometimes from church, another thing that too loud, too cold, too long, too fast would be another. When I lead singing, sometimes I get through to the second verse and people are still looking for the number. I know I mumble and I know it's hard to understand and I do know I need to slow down, but there's still part of me that enjoys being told it's going too fast, because I'll go home sometimes and the church where I went to college has a live service. They're in the central time zone, so we get out here at 7 o'clock, at 6 o'clock there, and their service starts at 7 o'clock their time, so I have an hour to do whatever, and then I'll sit down and watch their service. The song leader gets up, he says, turn the number, blah, 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 and seriously, pop, pop, pop. Every song is, no matter what tempo, it's always that fast. The invitation, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. And they sing one verse over and over and over again. That's different to us, that's foreign to us, but I got used to it when I was there. The first day I went to school, they handed me a pretty thick book. It was an 8.5 by 11 size, and it was about 80 pages. And I was still in the administration line to get my classes lined up. And I said, is this introductory to English, or, you know, is this some kind of, it's not that thick a book, so it must be some small subject I only have for a few weeks. And they said, no, this is the rule book. You got to read this by next week and sign this paper that you'll obey all these rules. And some of them were really silly. There were certain restaurants you couldn't go to. There were just crazy things that I wasn't used to. There was a rule that you've heard of, the 6-inch rule, which I would support for those of you who are dating. But they had all these rules that if you were too close, you got demerits. If you got caught holding hands, you got demerits. If you were kissing, it was either demerits or expulsion. And I guess they asked you to reenact the kiss so they could decide how bad it was. But it was foreign. It was slightly foreign to me. There was one exception to the touching rule. If it was icy ground, you could hold your girlfriend's elbow to make sure she didn't trip up. So in the dorm, sometimes all the guys would get together and pray, oh God, send ice, send ice. But it never happened. There were strange cultural things going on. When we were working there, we had a bus route, and there were several times throughout the year we'd do an evangelistic day. And we'd go to a black church and rent their church and use it in the afternoon and go out in the projects. I don't know if you've ever driven through Chicago, but there's government housing where a lot of people live that don't get to go to church. And we go out and bring them in and have a service for them. We were sitting in the church one day, and up behind the baptistry, there was a picture of a guy baptizing somebody. And he was wearing a robe, and he looked like, you know, kind of a guy from the Bible. And he was very darkly complected. He was a black man. And I was a freshman in college. I didn't know anything. And I said, well, who's that guy? Who is that guy? And somebody else said, well, that's Jesus. And he was like, that's not Jesus. Because that's not how I'm used to seeing Jesus. But I was talking to Chantel. This is a picture from our Sunday school lesson. And this is a picture of Jesus. Now, remember, Jesus wandered in the wilderness. He was tempted by the Holy Spirit. He lived with fishermen his entire life. I was talking to Brian last Saturday, and I said, did you get some sun? Because he'd been out cutting the grass. And he's like, everybody's telling me that. So we get a tan and we're out in the sun. Jesus here looks like he worked for Dell Computer and he's never been outside. But that's our picture of Jesus. That's how we think of him. But to other people, that's foreign. I know I'm blowing your mind here. Other people, they don't see it that way. And are they wrong and we're right? Well, this is how I grew up, so I assume I'm right. But that's how we all think, and we all can't be right. And I believe Jesus at least had a tan. I don't know what color he was. Brother Terry had his source of jokes. I heard one from your source, from a guy on TV. These two friends were... A black guy and a white guy were best friends. They always voted for the same guy. They always ate at the same places. They loved everything. They agreed on everything, but they couldn't agree whether or not Jesus was black or white. And so they both went to heaven at the same time. And they go up to St. Peter, and they said, St. Peter, we agree on everything, but we've never been able to decide if Jesus was black or white. Around that time, Jesus comes up and says, Buenos dias. Oh, Jesus was Spanish. Again, not my joke. Brother Terry's friend told that. So... But it is something silly that we can laugh about, because that's not what decides it for us. The Bible tells us to reach every creature. The Bible tells us to, Paul says, I have to become all things to all men. And it's important that we don't change. It's important that we don't become homogenized and everybody is exactly the same, because if we're not different, we can't learn from each other. Dad said he had cream corn because he likes cream corn. I like the fact that he does what he likes and that the rest of us get it figured out and we do it that way because he's the leader. I like hanging around Brother Terry because Brother Terry doesn't, I don't want to use the word censor himself, but he doesn't stop and try to make it appropriate for you. He says what he's thinking. And I like that. I like being around Brother Dennis back there when he prays, because he prays and talks to God and the rest of us listen in. He doesn't pray for us to hear. And we get more out of it that way. We talked about it last night. When he talks to God, we hear a man talking to his God. And I like that. I don't think we need to be all mixed up and all the same. I heard somewhere in McDonald's, if you get a hamburger there, there might be over 100 different cows that went into that one hamburger. Well, I'd rather have a steak where I know it came from one cow, and that's all. And just like we have different cultural things between us, there's many things out there. There's many people out there we can reach that I believe we're not, just because we're hung up on some of these things. I'll try to read from my notes here. I got several pages here. God uses the young to convict the old, and he uses the old to convict the young. The story in the Bible about Naaman, he was a leader. He had achieved great things by obeying his superiors, by having character. He had done a lot of things right, but he had leprosy. And the servant to his wife said, there's a man that can heal you. I believe it was Elisha she was talking about. I can tell you for sure. She said, "If it is Elisha, yes." And she said, there's a man that can heal you. And she told Naaman's wife, and one of the servants told Naaman. And Naaman humbled himself to go to someone else for help. And then he got there, and Naaman said, go dip in a dirty river, in the Jordan River. And Naaman said, he was too proud to do that. And then another servant told him, if he'd asked you to do some great thing or give a lot of money or do something bombastic, you would have done it. All he's asking you is to humble yourself and get down in dirty water and do what the man of God says. And Naaman did it. So the servant can learn, the master can learn from the servant just as the servant learns from the master. The smart can learn from the ignorant, and the ignorant can definitely learn from the smart. And the liberal from the conservative, and the conservative from the liberal. I have a friend at work who's about my age, and if something goes wrong with something, he'll just throw it away. It could be worth a lot of money, but he's from my generation, everything's disposable, so he throws it away. Well, there's an older guy, he's about to retire, and he recycles everything. Everything can be repaired, you can put duct tape on it and make it work another 5 years, you can do something. It's a different culture from where I've grown up and from an older person, and we can learn from them. Brother Bob and Lois, we went over and helped them out today, and I pray to God that I believe I do have a wife like Lois, but just seeing the way she cares for him, that is a tremendous lesson that I can learn from them. And I'm sure maybe they've told me, I've taught them a few things. I don't know if I have or not, but I praise God for people that teach me things every day. And this is part of our family. Our family is here to train each other. Just as Paul was talking about, he's trying to get them all in, every creature. He's trying to reach them. Another story, I had a roommate named Daniel. He was from Kentucky. Dad had loaned me some of the sermon tapes from the church there at the college. And he's still there. He's married now. But whenever the pastor will tell a joke or say something funny, you can hear Daniel laughing because it'll be so loud. And you can hear him on the tape, and you can't escape him. Well, that makes me remember him because he used to be my roommate. He had a record player. No one else on campus had a record player. Going back to that big, thick rule book, we had to have our music approved. You know, we had to turn it in so nobody was listening to horrible stuff, and we had to make sure that the college thought it was okay. Well, he was the only one with a record player, so the music guy had to come to our room and listen to all his music on the record player so he could approve it. He would sit down. He had athlete's foot, so he'd spray his feet. But he'd sit there right in front of us, like about 2 feet away, and do that. And it was totally acceptable to him. He was all right with it. He wore a cowboy hat everywhere he went, and everybody on the dorm floor was just the best thing they could do was steal his hat. So he'd run up and down, knock on every door, "Where's my hat? Where's my hat?" And he would go nuts. So I remember Daniel, but he taught me a few things. Daniel did not believe in the snooze button. I am a full-hearted believer in the snooze button. To this day, every day, I thank God for the snooze button. I had a CD I put in. It was, "Go Reach the World," and be this chorus, and "Go Reach the World, Touch One More Soul," and it was real inspiring. So every morning at 6 a.m., it was like, "Go Reach the World, Touch One More Soul," snooze button. 10 minutes later, "Go Reach the World, Touch One More Soul," snooze button. Now, Daniel was up. He was spiritual. He was reading his Bible. About 6:30, when we had to get up, I hit that snooze button one more time. Daniel looks up at me and says, "You know, I'm really starting to hate that song." So he taught me something. We can all learn from each other. We can all overcome our cultural differences and learn something from each other. Another thing at college that I've tried to overcome since being here, everyone's very sarcastic from the founder of the college all the way down. Everyone's very sarcastic. We'd say, well, we'd run a bus route, and usually we'd have 30 kids come on the bus. We'd only have 20, so we'd say, "How is your bus route doing?" And we'd say, "Well, I only had 20 kids this week." And we'd say, "Well, maybe you're not walking with God. Maybe your prayer life's not right." And that sounds bad to us. Most of us, that sounds bad. But that's how they would sarcastically kid each other and keep each other accountable. And maybe it really was that, but normally you wouldn't say that to somebody. I was here about a month, and I can't remember who it was. I think God removed him from my memory. But somebody, I asked him, "Hey, how you doing today?" And they're like, "Well, I'm not feeling too good. I got this, and I'm feeling pretty bad." And I'm like, "Well, maybe you're not walking with God. Maybe your prayer life's not right." That didn't go over real well, but it was something I was used to saying. I was waiting for him to laugh back, but he didn't laugh. And Chantel, a lot of times we'll be talking about how my mom used to do things and how her mom used to do things, and she'll always say, "Well, that's growing up, that's not the way we did it." And of course, I'm always right and she's always wrong. Now, to the whole point of the message, there are people out there that are different than us. We'll pass them on the road and their music's too loud, or we don't like what they're wearing, we don't like their haircut, we don't like many things about them, they bother us. And we're not even trying to reach them. The Bible says reach every creature, and we're not geared toward reaching them. We talk a lot about our sphere of influence and how big is that sphere. I think a lot of us, sometimes I tease Dad about, he'll say sphere, and a lot of us have a sphere of influence. We'll say, if it's a white guy, if he's got a decent job, if he's raising his family, if he's doing most everything right, I'm going after that one. I'm going after that one. But our mission should be to reach everyone, no matter what. And I just use that as an example. Our mission should be to reach all men, all women, all kids. I'm going to get done a little bit early, but there's a newspaper ad I've seen a few times that I agree with it, and it makes a lot of sense. It says, when our country legalized abortion, we might have killed the next Beethoven. We might have killed the guy with the cure for cancer or AIDS. We might have destroyed society by not giving us the next Abraham Lincoln or the next great leader. Every day we should be seeing people born into the family of God. We're not physically telling them they can't come, and we're not killing them, but we're denying them the gospel, and they're not being born into the family of God. They're not there to teach us the lessons that God has for us. We pray that the Holy Spirit will touch hearts. And I believe he does. I believe there are hearts being touched, but I believe we need to reach them, because the next great preacher, the next great song leader, the next great Sunday school teacher, we're not aborting them, but we're not bringing them into the family of God. And that's wrong. There's no way for us to judge another person's heart, and there's no way for us to know what motivates them. But we know what the Bible says, and we know we need to reach everyone. And the more we localize our efforts, the more we just pick one group or one class of people and say, hey, we're going after them. No, it should be everybody. And I know God gives us different burdens. I know that when I was in college, some of us just went after kids. Some of us just went after, we went to the rest homes or we went to teenagers. And they're all important, but God sent us and God left us. I had another story I was going to read, the parable of the talents. God left us with the abilities, and God left, to whom much has been given, much shall be required. God gave us this church. God gave us his word. There's so many things that we're sure about, and there's such an unsure world out there that needs to hear it. And we should feel guilty about it. We should feel moved by it. Saturday night, we talked about Chantel. I thank God for my wife, that he gave her to her, and that she was in somebody's sphere, that somebody made their influence wide enough to reach her. And there are more out there. And we need to ask God for a burden, because Candy, I'm going to preach your message. There's not a second chance. There's a new beginning. But the people that are out there now, we don't have a second chance to reach them now. And that's what I wanted to say. So I don't know why I'd be nervous about saying any of that, but that's what God laid in my heart. That's what I wanted to tell each of us. We have a duty. We have a mission. And don't ever live a day saying, well, I don't know what to do today. I don't know. I feel helpless. I don't feel like I have a purpose. God left each of us with a purpose, and it's up to us to take it and use it and say, I did the best I could. And I hope we can all say that. And appreciate being here tonight and not breaking down crying with me. But I think we have a lot to learn from each other, and I thank God for each and every one of you. And I learn from you every day, but I know there's more out there that I can learn from and that we can bring into the family. And it'd be a shame if we passed one of them up, and I don't want to be the one that does that. So let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for my dad, and thank you for this church, and thank you for the great foundation we have on which to build, and help us never to belittle that or criticize that. And I hope everybody knows I would not attempt to even correct anything. I'm not attempting to correct. I'm trying to remind us of what God has for us to do. And I pray that you've convicted me this week. I pray that you convict everybody else. I pray you'd make us miserable and make us be what we ought to be until we're in your will, until we're doing what you have for us. Don't let us sleep. Don't let us concentrate on worldly things. Burden our hearts and make it burn within us that there's a lost world and there's people out there that need you. And I believe the more we listen, the happier we'll be, the less contentious we'll be, and the more we'll honor you. And I honestly believe that. Help us each to see that from your word. I pray you bless us the rest of this week. Be with us Sunday. I pray you use that day, and I pray that you use it to see many people saved. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.